Tweet at TodaySOR.
Time now to look back at the big sporting events of the weekend, and we'll also be looking forward to tonight's game against Denmark at the Aviva Stadium in Lansdowne Road. I'm joined by David Snaid, freelance soccer journalist, by Cliona Foley, sports journalist, and by Damien Lawler, our regular sports panellist. Damien, the coverage of the rugby this weekend, it's so positive. Wins for all four provinces in the Champions Cup and some great individual performances. Have we put the World Cup, I won't say disaster, but it wasn't a great outcome for us, behind us now?
It's a great question, because I still feel that in a few weeks' time there'll be some sort of a hit or a hangover. But right now, four wins for the four provinces. You know, two of them in very dramatic circumstances. Give you an example, I thought Munster played some great stuff in terms of, you could tell Stephen Larkham's back play was coming to fruition there. They threw the ball around, they varied their game much more than the national team. I thought Jacob Stockdale had been criticised for his defensive play. He came up with the last play of the game to secure a win against Bath.
Amazing.
Connacht showed unbelievable resilience with three or four players out injured. And Leinster then probably a bit concerned about what they conceded, all right, but they were always in control of that game. So yeah, I think great start for the provinces here on the back of a horrible World Cup campaign. A lot more fluidity to the game plans in each of the cases, and I think if Andy Farrell is looking in, I just pray that he will change the template when
he was at the Munster game, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. You can see Stephen Larkham's tactics there, Cliona, in terms of even the way Jeremy Lochman sprayed the ball around at one stage. Yeah. Unbelievably good to watch, and variety, that's all it was.
The Connacht result was probably the result of the weekend, Sean, because given their injury crisis, and they lost three more the night of the game, and for them to be back in Europe at that level, to be playing the way they did, and also Conor Fitzgerald has done really well. Yeah. While Carty was out and came in, he got the kick. So I thought that was the big
shocking
result for me at the weekend.
Well,
that was actually the biggest weekend, mm-hmm. because Ospreys are very weak, obviously, at the moment. They're without all of their Welsh internationals, a load of players. So the Munster result, you know, Leinster would have been expected to win that game. Great to see a hat-trick, obviously, from Ringrose. And the brother scored in the All-Ireland League, which is unusual as well.
That's
his younger brother.
Treviso,
yeah. So for them against Treviso. And his younger brother scored three as well at the weekend for UCD. Mm-hmm. But I thought the Connacht result actually was the big result for the weekend. And the Stockdale tackle to hold the win for, because you know, after, like, it's six games down the thing, that those big wins will be valuable, you know, those tiny little instances.
Leo Cullen saying that the internationals in his squad were trying to get the World Cup defeats off their chest. Now, despite what Damien's saying, like, the signs are good anyway, so far so good. A good win for Leinster over Benetton.
Yeah, and you would imagine after that World Cup, players are going to be coming back and their confidence is going to be shot, and they just need that shot in the arm to kind of just, no matter what sport it is, if a player, even at the top of their game, when they have such a big blow, it's bound to take an effect, and they just need to get back on the horse almost straight away. Because remember, Johnny Sexton was even saying it, where maybe the players, they just, that freedom when it comes back, that's what they're going to try of, especially at Leinster. That's what they've been so.
And Sexton scored a brilliant try, and it's very unlike him. When he dotted it down, he, you know, gestured to the crowd, and you could just see it's
Stockdale
almost like
did something similar when he made that tackle,
get the weight off.
Because they wouldn't have had much time to get any sun on their back or anything having come home from.
Which is
from
probably
Japan.
A good. Sorry, Sean. That's probably a good thing as well, because the last thing any player wants is to have to dwell on it for too long.
Yeah,
I think they're all coming home as well, and they're going back into their own environment, their own friends, their families around them. They've been away on the road quite a long time. Provinces have been doing very well in general recently in years gone by for Irish teams anyway, so it's no great, it's just opening day really.
It is opening day very much. They all have French teams next weekend, and Munster Racing with Zeebo and Donegan Ryan coming back down to Thomond Park next weekend. That's going to be great.
But it is good
to
see different players putting their hands up. Like Lochman really impressed me, and as you were saying, Conor Fitzgerald, a former Limerick minor player himself, he really impressed me too.
Something equally competitive, of course, the GA provincial games, and in the hurling, St. Mullins of Carlow beating Rathdowney of Laois. Now they're facing Henry Shefflin's Ballyhale Shamrocks.
Yeah, and they'll have no fear, because they've been pushed right to the wire nearly every game they've played over the last four or five outings. I mean, all the attention will go on James Doyle, who's a class player. He, himself and TJ Reid both shot the lights out this weekend.
TJ scoring what was it?
214.
112 from play, and he missed a penalty.
Yeah,
and it was his 32nd birthday
as well. Yeah, but TJ Reid's gone to a different level in the last 4 years. I think back maybe in 2012, he was actually only a bit par player for Kilkenny. He still had all Ireland medals.
He looked tired, didn't he? Then
yeah, so he's gone off. He's totally looked at his diet. He's looked at his conditioning. His skill level has just gone. His aerial ability has gone to a different level too, and he's transferring that back to his club. And like, it's now nearly a year and a half unbeaten for Henry Shefflin in terms of going for a Leinster title, shall we say, in terms
of
national.
I mean, I thought that St Mullins Rathdowney Earl game was the game of the weekend because first of all, the hurling was brilliant in it from a Laois club and a Carlow club. We're really good hurling at this time of year, particularly James Doyle's skill, the flick over the head and the run around and the two late points scored. And Marty Kavanagh is a brilliant hurler, young hurler. I remember him hurling for Carlow when he was senior, when he was 16. Mm-hmm. He scored 1-9. There was 4,000 of that game. And, you know, people are sometimes now saying, oh, is the AIB, do people make too much of the club? Are people not interested? But 4,000 of that game yesterday, and they got an absolute cracker. Like, it was brilliant. It is, yeah. Yes, they'll be the underdogs going in against Ballymena the next day, but still.
In Ulster football, wins for Kilcoo and Naomh Connell. There was a quote from a Kilcoo player, Aaron Brannigan: nothing but mass and a few sheep means football is everything.
That was a great line.
Yeah, it could apply to many parishes during around the country as well. What's striking me about Ulster Football Championship this year is the penalty shootouts across the board. They're being brought in with regularity to try and sort out games, and they are dividing opinion. A lot of people are maybe a little bit sore that some games are decided like that, but I think with the way the fixture calendar is, the GAA had no choice.
The thing that jumped out at me, Sean, was the Munster, it was Nemo Rangers absolutely slaughtering Austin Stacks. Austin Stacks scored 5 points, 18 point defeat, and Kerry have changed how they're nominating a club team far into the provincial championships, and I'd say they'll have to have a rethink on that one.
Yeah, and a great win for Clonmel Commercials. They play now in the Munster final as well. They beat Milltown Malbay at the weekend too. So club campaign is boiling over nicely.
Cliona, the LGFA All-Stars announced on Saturday night. What did you make of the selection? 7 for Dublin and Siobhan McGrath, Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think they were, it was a very good spread actually, and I thought they were fair. I heard people giving out, maybe Geraldine McLaughlin from Donegal, she scored 7.33 for Donegal last year, was nominated at full forward. Rachel Kearns, though, I think Mayo was deserving. There was a bit of a what would you call it, a conspiracy theory. You know, a lot of players, there's 18 players going over to play in Australia this year, and there was a bit of a thing saying, oh, the girls who aren't here tonight that are in Australia, they weren't getting the big prizes. But actually, the Player of the Year is voted for by the Players of the Year, so it was the players who would have decided those big ones. But Siobhan McGrath, 31, has come back and reinvented herself, and I thought it was well deserved. The one that surprised me was Kate Flood from Louth not getting the Junior Player of the Year because she's a sensational footballer.
Just another quick word about women's sport. Big attendances across the water at some of the matches in ladies soccer or women's soccer, particularly at Anfield.
Yeah, there was 30,000 yesterday at Spurs have just gone into the Premiership.
Spurs Arsenal
yesterday attracted 38,000. There's a big marketing campaign going on in England and a big push. And if you watched that game yesterday, and Katie McCabe actually, the Irish international, had a cracker for Arsenal off the post in the first half. The mix of the crowd was really interesting for me. There were actually loads of men and women there, and obviously who were Spurs and Arsenal fans, not women football fans, and I think that's the way it has to go forward.
Because Phil Neville is the manager of the English national team, and that seems to be helping with the crossover, but also they're very successful, and I think they sold out Wembley. I think they nearly sold out Wembley.
They played Germany the weekend
Moving back home to tonight, Ireland versus Denmark. We've met the Danes so many times before, mostly draws, but a draw won't do it this time. Can we beat them, David?
Yeah, definitely you can beat them, but Denmark, they might not have superstars. You have Christian Eriksen, but they are a very well-drilled side. Like, under their manager, Aki Hiraidi, they have not lost in 33 games. They're like a really, really impressive team. Like, they're well-drilled, and the best chance Ireland are going to have tonight, because it's just one of those games where the crowd are going to be intense. But David McGoldrick, the Sheffield United striker, he missed the last two games, and it's no coincidence that those last two games against Georgia and away to Switzerland were probably two of Ireland's worst performances in the group, because he's the main man now. He's come into the squad and he's kind of really been impressive.
Eamon Dunphy at the start of the day previewing, he says there should be a change at midfield. He says Hendrick is the one who has to go. Do you agree?
I agree in that Hendrick hasn't been impressive at all. Really, since the Euros in 2016, go back to Lille, that game in Italy, Robbie Brady, kind of his childhood friend, he got the goal, but that seemed to be the mark of Jeff Hendrick. That was a performance that he should have been building on, and he just hasn't kicked on. Mm. He's, I wouldn't say stagnated with Burnley, but he's not really kicked on as he should. And in the last game, especially in Switzerland, he was anonymous. I do think his position is under threat, but because so much is at stake, I think McCarthy, he's a pragmatist at heart, and I do think he'll stick with his tried and trusted for this game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a 1-0 effort. I think it won't be Shane Duffy because he'd be triple marked, I'd imagine. It could be John Egan coming up with a header. And I just looking across channel and all the shenanigans with the royal family at the weekend, and the Queen has clearly lost the Buckingham Palace dressing room. And the point I'd make is Mick McCarthy clearly has the Irish dressing room. Yeah. Even bringing back Richard Keogh, there's an unbelievable sense of togetherness. And yeah, I know it's rubbish to throw out a theory.
When the change of management comes, will Prince Andrew be dropped?
He could be dropped, yeah. But I just feel that the spirit will actually get them through tonight.
It's a great point, because there has been some criticism, more so because of the last two games and how Ireland have played. But Mick McCarthy deserves a lot of credit, because after the last Nations League campaign under Martin O'Neill, this team were on its knees. The fact that Ireland are in this situation with one game to go, a win at home to automatically qualify for the Euros, is really incredible, because I don't think anybody sitting around here would have actually envisaged that, how things finished with Martin O'Neill. And it's not just that Mick McCarthy has come in, and he obviously knows how to get the best out of people as well as players, yeah, but he's got them organised as well. And that's one of the major things that's been lacking, is just that organisation. And players know their jobs, and there's a lot to be said for it when you're a limited team to actually know exactly what you have to do when you're on the pitch.
Yeah, and Liam Brady in the Examiner says the FAI will be hoping for a win, not least because it would draw attention away from the ongoing crisis in Abbottstown.
From the crisis in Abbottstown, exactly. And the interesting thing is, for all the criticism about the succession system, with the managers in Ireland, the Danish manager is in the same position. Mm. So even if they win and he brings them to the Euros, he's been dumped with this incredible record. So it isn't just in Ireland that strange things happen in national governing bodies. But I thought Eamon Sweeney had a great line in the Irish Independent this morning, Sean, and he said, the quality of the football being played hasn't been great, and that's really what bothers people more than fact. But he said, if they don't go through, he said, it'd be like going to Lough Derg and still doing Lough Derg and still going to hell if they go to the playoffs.
We have a small chance if we don't win tonight.
Slovakia away potentially.
Yeah, well, that's it. The playoff. Yeah,
well, look, come on, Ireland. My thanks to the three of you, Damien Lawler, Cliona Foley, and David Snaid.